Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Everyone, my name is Brianna Contreras, and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. This week on Tuning Into the C-Suite, I spoke with Dr. Scott Hayworth, President and CEO of New York-based Caremount Medical. In this interview, we discussed the importance of patients staying in contact with their doctors for the sake of reducing public health risks and to discuss ongoing care options with them. This action supports Dr. Hayworth's concern that over the next couple of years, the country could see a spike in preventable disease and death because of missed or delayed screening for skin cancer, gynecological issues, and other health conditions.
Hi, Scott. How you doing?
Okay. How are you doing, Brianna?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for being on tuning into the C-Suite today.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Well, to start off, can you first just tell us what Caremount is and what you do?
Sure. Well, I'm the President Chief Executive Officer of Caremount Medical. So we're the largest independent multi-specialty group in the country. We have 650 providers, which includes 500 physicians and 150 advanced practice professionals. So we serve roughly 665,000 patients. Everywhere from Manhattan or New York City, all the way up to Kingston and Rhinebeck, New York, which is about 2 hours north of the city. We have 45 locations.
Very awesome. So now you have a number of patients you serve, but are there any in particular that you do serve?
So we're multi-specialty. So we have everything from family practice and internal medicine and pediatrics to orthopedic spine surgery, ear, nose, and throat, cardiology. So we do the full range.
Okay, great. Now, to kind of jump in, it's been stated you fear in the next couple of years, the country could see a spike in preventable disease and death because of missed or delayed screening for cancers and other health conditions. Why is that? What is Caremount doing to prevent this?
So we were obviously a hot site for COVID early on. Mm-hmm. And for a while, we were not allowed to do elective procedures in our offices. We could do what's called urgent elective. So if someone had rectal bleeding, we could do a colonoscopy in the office. However, we couldn't do elective colonoscopies. So our big concern was that we would miss polyps initially, which then turned to colon cancer. So for two reasons. One is someone could have an early diagnosis, and sometimes they grow very, very rapidly, and we could miss it. Or people put their screening off. And what happens is once you put your screening off, you sort of forget about it, and you don't get it right away, even once things open up. And as a result of that, we were worried that, one, we find more advanced cancers. So sometimes in screening colonoscopy, we actually find cancer. And as a result of that, we miss those cancers, or they come to us, you know, much further along. And not only for things like pap smears for women, for cervical cancer, colon cancer prevention, but also we were afraid that we would treat people and save them from their COVID, but God forbid their hypertension or high blood pressure would be out of control, or their diabetes would be out of control. So it's both screening for cancers as well as taking care of people's medical problems. So what we did was we started off with virtual visits. We really ramped it up fairly rapidly, and we went from what we were probably doing maybe 25 virtual visits a week to 1,500 a day. We usually do roughly 6,000 appointments a day, and so we're doing 1,500 virtual visits a day. But the virtual visits won't help you for screening for cancer, because if the patient's not seen, they can't have that screen. So that was our real concern.
So now, was this more of an initiative of you guys doing virtual. Was this during COVID or was this like pre-COVID in a sense too?
So it was during COVID. So we ramped up very quickly in about 2 weeks. We fortunately had the infrastructure in place already, but we ramped up a process that probably would have taken 6 months in non-COVID world in 2 weeks, which included having a patient help desk so that patients who had initial issues getting in. We've since changed our virtual help vendor to a more patient-friendly vendor. But we had to put in a help desk to help patients. We had to train all the physicians. We had to train all the staff. So it's a huge process, which we did very rapidly.
Yeah, kind of a learning curve for everyone, you know, patients and physicians and, you know, professionals. Now to kind of continue on with this question, did you ever fear that there were any other reasons that patients, you know, weren't making appointments or, you know, possibly just not scheduling or, you know, other reasons to keep them away from these screenings? Are there any other reasons other than COVID possibly?
Well, also remember, there's a lot of unemployment in the country. So as people lost their insurance, they also lost their jobs. I'm sorry, lost their jobs and then lost their insurance. So that was a concern as well, that people were worried. And so it's multifactorial. But what we worry about is a year or two down the road, we're going to see a lot more cancers or a lot sicker patients because they're not taking care of the preventive things they need to take care of.
Right. Okay. Now, I know you mentioned this a little bit before, but due to the effects of COVID, what medical practices can and should be done to ensure patients continue to receive the preventative care and screening they need? So this includes the need for proactive outreach to high-risk patients as well.
So first of all, I was fortunate. A few years ago, one of my medical directors talked me into having a lot of PPE or a lot of PPE for to help prevent people from getting sick. So masks and gowns and gloves. So we were fully stocked. So that helped a lot because in the middle of the crisis, we were spending $25,000 a day or about $125,000 a week just to have PPE to keep our providers and our patients safe. Safety and patient safety is very, very important for us. As a result of that, I appointed a chief safety officer to make sure that we're doing everything as well as we can. So we at least were lucky. A number of medical groups had to close because they didn't have the PPE. So we initially had enough PPE in stock. So that helped us initially get going. We also were what's called a next gen ACO. So for Medicare population, we're one of 40 in the country. And being a next gen ACO, we're at risk for a Medicare population. So our senior citizens actually get better care. The government is actually enabling us to have things such as care coordinators, whose job is to make sure that patients, diabetics get there, go to the podiatrist, go to the ophthalmologist. So our senior citizens are well taken care of. As a result of that, we have the entire infrastructure in place. So through analytics that we have and in our systems, because of being a next gen ACO, as well as having the people, we're able to do a good job of reaching out to our sicker individuals to make sure that they're coming in to get their preventative care. But when you can't do screening colonoscopies, it doesn't matter whether you have the infrastructure to identify those patients. We weren't allowed to do them.
Okay. Now, if you could, what are your best practices, your best practice recommendations for encouraging staff and patient adoption of virtual visits?
So first thing is communication. One thing we learned through COVID is it's important to communicate well. We had a number of calls to providers in the evenings, provider-wide calls. We also had notifications to our employees, as well as frequent notifications to our patients. We had a number of patients tell our providers that even though they had some of their care within the group and some outside the group, they were actually found we did a much better job of getting information out. I had other medical groups from around the country tell me they actually took some of our ideas, which was fine with us, because this is really everyone working together to try to keep people safe. Because it is all about the patient. And the patient's at the center of everything we do. So I'm happy anyone can use our ideas to help their own patient base. So a lot of it's communication and having the analytics in order to do it. We have what's called a data warehouse, and we have an incredible ability to basically see who our sicker patients are and to make sure they get the care they need.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, what impact does COVID-19 have on care delivery models, value-based care initiatives, and technology adoption?
So, first of all, patients, if we're at risk, we expect patients in a year or two, God forbid, will have more illness because they didn't get done what they need to get done.
Right.
So it's very, very important that we keep everyone up on all their preventive visits so that we don't have a surge in the future because people weren't getting what they were doing. The other problem is financial. Medical groups around the country are all being hit because volumes were down. Mm-hmm. As a result of that, revenues are off. So we fortunately have state-of-the-art technology, but you're not going to see the investment in technology for a year or two because a number of the hospitals around us have hiring freezes. We don't. We're still hiring physicians.
Okay.
But you need the revenue in order to keep buying newer and newer technology.
Right. Okay. Now, that's actually all I had for you, but if there's any other additional information our listeners should know about CareMount or this topic?
Sure. Well, first of all, we are all about taking great care of our patients, and that's what the group's about. That's what our physicians and our other providers want to do. I think having a single electronic medical record so that patients, every doctor they see is in our database, so that one doctor doesn't have to order unnecessary tests because they can see what another doctor has done. You have doctors in different groups all over town, it's tough because they don't know what the other doctors are doing. So through our urgent care centers, we really have continuity of care, and that really makes a difference for patients getting the best outcomes. Also, I can't stress enough communication. Proactively reaching out to your patients, making sure they're getting what they're doing, and making sure they understand the importance of keeping their visits and getting the primary care and the preventive care they need.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Hayworth. I appreciate you, educating us a bit more on, what's going on and, what patients should be doing and how to engage. And again, communication, that's the biggest thing, like you said. So, hopefully our listeners will take into this information and hopefully there's more good than bad that comes out of this.
Let's hope. I think right. We all have, everyone in the country wants what's right for people. And I think we hopefully we'll get through COVID and we'll move on as a country and everyone will be able to move forward and do the right things.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on MHE, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.